name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 139, Manner of Assisting at Mass. The image shows the hours of the day, indicating when Mass would be offered in all these different locations. It's like a triptych, and on the left you have a picture, and underneath the image is the prophet Malachi in his book of prophecies written about 500 years before Christ, announced the perpetuity of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And on under the right picture we have the crucifixion of the Lord on the cross. And it says, from the rising of the sun even to the going down, my name is great among the Gentiles, and in every place there is sacrifice, and there is offered to my name a clean oblation. The caption under the entire picture says, the holy sacrifice of the Mass is offered every hour somewhere in the world. Wherever he is, a Catholic knows that whatever he may be doing, he can join spiritually in the holy sacrifice. The chart above gives the approximate time in the United States when Masses are most likely being said, 6 a.m. in the country listed on the dial. Let us join in a holy Mass somewhere now. Okay. The manner of assisting at Mass. The first question, how should we assist at Mass? We should assist at Mass with reverence, attention, and devotion. We should remember that we are present at the holy sacrifice of Christ's body and blood. Whispering, laughing, and looking about during Mass are out of place and irreverent. When we are conversing with anyone, we give him all our attention and do not even think of other people. At Mass, we are in the real presence of God. We should fix our attention on him and forget everything else. It is the practice to kneel during Mass, at least from the beginning to the offertory, and from the Sanctus till after Communion, standing for the Gospels. One should not come to Mass overdressed. It is a distraction for others to see people entering in the height of fashion. Some women seem to go to church only to attract attention by their clothes, their new hairdressing, their paint. The church is not a fashion parade. It need not be said that one does not hear Mass outside the church, but inside. Too often men stand outside and talk together while Mass is going on, and go in only if they feel like doing so. These people do not hear Mass. However, if one goes to hear Mass and finds the church packed, he really hears Mass so long as he prays and unites himself with the sacrifice, even though he could not see from behind a post. It is related of St. John the Almoner, Patriarch of Alexandria in the 7th century, that he observed some of his parishioners on Sundays and holy days had formed the habit of standing about the churchyard and talking together instead of entering the church to hear Mass. The good bishop determined to put an end to this bad habit. One Sunday, instead of saying Mass in the church, he went outside and stood with the idlers. They looked at him in surprise. He said, "You wonder what I am doing here, but remember where the flock is. There the pastor must be. If you enter the church, I shall also go in." Shamed into their right senses, the idlers went in at once, and from that time never again heard Mass outside. We should try to give the Holy Sacrifice all our attention and devotion. We should keep away from our minds all distractions as far as possible and unite ourselves with Jesus in his sacrifice, especially in the principal parts of the Mass. In ancient days, the Jews offered thousands of victims as sacrifice in the temple, all in silence. The early Christians remained motionless at Mass, kneeling in reverence throughout the holy sacrifice. What is the best method of assisting at Mass? The best method of assisting at Mass is to unite with the priest in offering the holy sacrifice and to receive Holy Communion. The best way of uniting ourselves in offering the holy sacrifice is by following the prayers of the Mass from a missal and meditating on the mysteries presented therein. If we have no missal, we should devoutly meditate, especially at the principal parts, on our Lord's Passion. The Mass is a reenactment of the sacrifice on the cross, a commemoration of Christ's death. Those who say vocal prayers must be careful not to whisper so loud as to disturb others. At the principal parts of Mass, we should always suspend our private devotions and meditate on the particular mystery presented. At the offertory, uniting our intentions with the priest. At the consecration, welcoming Jesus. And at the communion, inviting him into our hearts and thanking him for the consummation of his sacrifice. We should also unite ourselves with the rest of those who hear the Mass and with all Christians throughout the world for whom Christ died as well as for us. In the early days of the Church, Christians heard Mass in congregation, answering to the priest's part said now by the server. A similar practice is now used in the Missa Recitata, wherein the congregation speak out loud the responses at Mass. When younger people hear Mass, it is well to have a little singing too. Sacred songs are in themselves prayer. Our Lord and his apostles sang a hymn at the Last Supper. It is a great honor and privilege to be allowed to serve Mass. This privilege is reserved to boys and men. Girls and women may answer the Mass prayers like acolytes, but they are not permitted to enter the sanctuary. Every boy should avail himself of the opportunity when it offers itself. He mingles with the angels in the sanctuary. He obtains special graces for his service. Parents should see to it that their boys join the altar boy society of the parish. As early as possible, when a boy is 7 or 8 years old, he should be accustomed to serve Mass. He should learn the Mass prayers well, pronounce them distinctly, and understand their meaning when he is sufficiently advanced. He should be recollected in manner, remembering where he is and in what holy ceremony he is taking part. If everybody cannot serve Mass, at least everybody, man, woman, or child, can unite himself with the priest in offering the holy sacrifice, and everybody who has reached the age of reason and has been properly prepared can receive communion. Why is Mass said in Latin? Mass is said in Latin because Latin is the official language of the Western Church. The use of Latin, a dead language, has many advantages. It ensures unity and uniformity in faith and practice. There can be no change from one church to another using the same Latin rite. Because Latin is a dead language, the words do not change their meaning, and the interpretation is always uniform. In the Eastern churches, Mass is said in several other ancient languages. However, all the languages in which Mass is said have gone out of daily use and cannot be understood without previous instruction. It is not necessary to understand the Mass prayers as pronounced by the priest, as they are generally pronounced in a very low tone of voice. The prayers are not supposed to be addressed to people, but to God. Mass is not instruction, but sacrifice. The people, by means of their prayer books, can follow the movements of the priest and hear the Mass. Missals for the laity have all the prayers read by the priest translated from the Latin. If preferred, a prayer book may be used at Mass, reading the prayers for Mass or even other prayers. The five sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary are suitable as Mass devotions, setting forth as they do our Lord's Passion. Okay, that concludes. We could continue on here. Do we have any questions or comments before we... Okay, I think we'll save some of this for another time here, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I did want to emphasize, I guess, the use of Latin as a dead language. It assures uniformity in faith and practice, and I think that was one of the first things that was noted when the Novus Ordo began having Mass in the vernacular, or the local language, in our case, English, that there was no longer a uniformity, that people used words that had a similar meaning but not the exact meaning. The translation became very loose and weak, and invariably changes crept in. And when you change the uniformity in practice or the expression of the faith, you actually change the faith itself. Okay, so to accommodate so many Protestants, the emphasis on the Mass being a sacrifice and the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary was, if not completely denied, was set aside to emphasize the Last Supper and having a meal. And so basically the reverence and everything that we've just read about the sacrifice of the Mass was thrown out the window so that we could commune with one another. So the kiss of peace became a big thing, turning the altar round so the priest is facing the people. All of these changes brought about a change of what people believe. And early in my priesthood, I would frequently ask people to define what the Mass was. And most of them would give me, I guess, like a scientific definition of Mass as being a group of something or a group of people. Mass is a congregation where we come together. It's the Mass of people, and it is the people's Mass. And very few, if any, had a concept of the Mass being the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary. And I blame really that on the Novus Ordo, the Vatican II Church, and the transformation that they implemented, basically stealing the faith from the people simply by changing the language. And then, of course, everybody, well, it's in English now, we can understand it. Well, the English they gave you was not a simple translation. You already had an English translation in your missal. If you have a Sunday missal, daily missal, you have, alongside the Latin, the translation. So the whole argument that it is English, or we can now hear the priest, or we can see the priest, the Mass isn't for the people. We're not praying to the people. The priest and the people together are praying to God. And so we see that these otherwise little changes or insignificant changes had tremendous ramifications in the faith of the people. Another translation or mistranslation was pro omnia for pro multus. So instead of Christ's sacrifice being offered for many, they translated his sacrifice was offered for all. And of course that welcomed in the non-Catholics, or open the doors for the non-Catholics, or so that the Mass would be more acceptable to non-Catholics. And so it seems, at least from what I could perceive, everything that was offensive to Protestants or non-Catholics was omitted or watered down in the Novus Ordo. And to open up the church for all these non-Catholics to welcome them in. And I'm not against ecumenism, true ecumenism. I'm not against welcoming non-Catholics into the church. The problem is the church cannot deny that. We cannot deny the faith. We cannot compromise the faith. We must be open to welcoming them in, instructing them, and correcting whatever errors and dogma or faith, worship that they have succumbed to. True charity demands that we help them to come to the truth, not to accept them where they are or to deny the truth so that we don't offend them. And if the truth offends them, that is really their problem. They need to perhaps humble themselves a little bit and accept the truth. And then they will find salvation. But if they reject the truth, they reject God, they reject the church, there's no salvation for them. If they continue in that path to their death, they are dead. They are damned. Their souls are dead for all of eternity. And I think that is something that is very serious, but the modernist church basically wants to deny that and suggest that everyone goes to heaven. And again, we see that. I think I mentioned it, was it last week, on the colors, liturgical colors. They don't want to use black for funerals anymore. They want to use white. And in these funeral ceremonies, they often speak of the deceased as being in heaven. We don't need to pray for them, we need to pray to them, because now they're saints in heaven, they're walking with Jesus, and the whole concept of purgatory has been lost. Hell has been denied, and of course sin itself has been denied. And so the sacrament of penance is no longer necessary. Each one of these little, apparently little things have pretty tremendous ramifications when we bring them into matters of faith. And so it is important that we hold on to the true definition of the Mass, that we continue in the ancient Latin, even if we can't understand it. It is there to preserve that unity. And if it's not unity with those around us, immediately in our day, we are at least in union with the past. We are in union with those who have gone before us, all the way back to Christ himself. Not that Christ used Latin, but early on the church took the Aramaic that Christ spoke and translated it into the Latin, and it has been, I guess, sealed in this Latin until our present day. And I think it is essential that we hold on to this and try to maintain that reverence and decorum that belongs in the sacrifice of the Mass, and remind ourselves frequently it is not as the non-Catholics or the Novus Ordo. It is not a celebration of man. It's not a time for us to shake hands and chat with one another. The Mass is a very serious and solemn occasion. When Christ offers himself to his Father in sacrifice on our behalf, and it is an opportunity for us to unite our sacrifices, our offerings, with Christ, so that they can be lifted up to God and become acceptable to God the Father in heaven, because they are tied to or united with or next to the sacrifice of Christ. Any other questions or comments? And I think we will end with the resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.